Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey everybody, open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy,
in quarantine,
we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. And this is your episode for the week.
Your episode
This is your relief from the abject abyss.
Andy, don't call it abject abyss. Welcome to 2021, week two, baby.
It's
funny to me how many people were like, goodbye 2020, as though anything would change.
Right, as if like flipping the page on your calendar
was going to make it all go away.
Yeah.
But instead of making it all go away, it invited more things in. It invited more things in. I hope you are practicing self-care. I hope this pod is one of those self-care practices. Yeah. Okay, honey? Because it is for me. When me and my lover can just sit side by side and talk into a microphone, I am reborn. I am renewed.
It is fun. I know, like, you know, having like a specific time where you and I are going to goof around.
Yeah.
Is kind of joyful in this.
Well, it's funny because I feel like because it is like up until we literally when I know we're going to record or do anything, I just conserve my energy. I lay on the couch and I play Boggle on my phone because I don't have a lot, Andy. You're not going to get a lot of goofs out of me. You know what I mean? A real limited goofing window. And so I really kind of conserve it.
Right. But hey, when you're in a goofing mood, what a joy.
What? Well, I promised there'd be some goofs.
In the vows.
Yeah.
There's going to be some goofs.
There'll be some goofs.
Not a lot.
But a lot of spoofs.
Not a lot of goofs, but some goofs. All right? What do you want out of me? What do you want out of me? This is going to be 24/7 goofs. There's not going to be hundreds and thousands of goofs, but there will be some, and those will be high quality goofs.
When I goof, it'll be worth a goofing. Okay? When I goof, it's worth it. But I'm not just willy-nilly handing out free goofs. I'm really not going to do it.
I am not in Costco with a plate full of free goofs for anyone that wants to walk past.
Oh my God. You get one sample a person.
You get one sample a person. But Andy, for you.
For you.
For you, many, many goofs. Just not forever for the entire time we're together. But just not all the time. I need some private time. I need some time
for
myself.
I have to
watch Elementary and Recharge.
I have to watch Elementary. I have to watch Lieutenant Joe Kenda. It has been brought to my attention that he has a new show on like Discovery Plus. And I'm like, I got to get another streamer? I can't get another streaming channel. So I'm going to have to figure out where the Joe Kenda jam is. I just cannot get another streaming channel.
Okay? We pay for two streaming channels. We get one from our parent, another one from my parents.
We get one from Andy's parents. We get one from my mom.
a friend of mine is signing us on to another. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to get him in trouble.
Right.
But there's a fifth one that a friend has generously offered to sign us on to. But thank you, Adam. I will say that on the podcast. Thank you, Adam. I won't tell you which one, though, because I don't want their lawyers coming at us, Naomi.
I briefly signed up for Shudder. Oh, wait. Can I also talk about... I'm sorry. Did you guys know I also pay for Funimation?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I'm out wait, here I thought it was paying Crunchyroll. For animes.
Is it Crunchyroll or Funimation?
It's both. It's both.
What's the price tag on that, Naomi?
Andrew, it costs about the price of two cups of coffee from a small shop, not a chain.
What are you, a commercial in the 80s for supporting a child in Africa?
Honey, they used to just be 10 cents a day. You can help a kid for 10 cents
now
a
it's
day
a cup
back
of
in
coffee.
The day.
For the cost of a monthly subscription to Crunchyroll, you could support a child in Cote d'Ivoire right now.
Andy loves name-checking Cote d'Ivoire, a place he's never been. I think he just likes the sound of the words.
Oh, you have?
The Ivory Coast?
You have been to the Ivory Coast.
I fucked with the Ivory Coast,
I'm sure you've been to Nigeria. You lived there with your grandmother for a while, correct?
Yes, I have visited. I was a child.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really do anything
where
dynamic
else? Ghana?
There.
You've been to Ghana, I'm sure.
Andy, don't be putting out my whole passport, okay? Yes, I'd be going places.
But I'll bet $100,000 you've never stepped one foot past the border to Cote d'Ivoire.
Stop saying Cote d'Ivoire. I hate it. You guys, we have got to get to our episode. We have just lost the plot already. Andrew wasted.
I'm very excited for today's episode.
We have such a good guest. You've already heard her dulcet tones. We are talking to a dear friend and hilarious comedian, Michelle Balloon. Y'all, Michelle is the jam and the jump off. You've heard her on Two Dope Queens, Comedy Bang Bang. She has two albums, one called You Can Be an Asshole, and the most recent one. Permanent Hat, okay? It's on A Special Thing Records, because it is a special thing. You can buy it where you buy your albums, okay?
You can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes.
Gorgeous.
Buy it.
Your
know what?
Options.
Look, I'm going to put this out there.
Buy it.
Buy it. You know what I've been
buy it.
What I did in 2020 now?
Buy it.
What I did last year? I vowed, I'm like, you know what? If there's a musician I like, I'm going to buy their album on Bandcamp. On Bandcamp, where most of the money goes straight to the artist. Most of it.
We've got to be supporting artists, okay? We have got to be supporting artists. Speaking of supporting artists, Andy and I do a show on Twitch. and we do sell t-shirts. But that's not really it. The point is Twitch, just to let you guys know, because I wanted to tell you up top before I forgot.
Oh, right.
This Wednesday, the show will be at 4 p.m. PST. Not 2 p.m. is normal. I have a job, and I cannot do 2 p.m., so we got to do a little later. So
Naomi's doing a shift at Trader Joe's.
I'm working a shift, honey. I'm trying to just get that discount. I'm trying to get that employee discount. So 4 p.m. PST Wednesday.
7 p.m. EST.
So you can go to twitch.tv/couplestherapypod and join us then a little bit later.
Join the Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew. And if you do, we got special Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew t-shirts as well as Jubu t-shirts.
In two wonderful styles. Okay, one of them, gorgeous white lettering. The other one's silver. Okay, we're giving you blue and white,
silver.
Blue and silver. We're serving Hanukkah realness all year round. All year round,
hey,
baby.
It doesn't have to be Hanukkah. Purim's coming up, Naomi.
There's so many reasons to buy a Jubu again.
Tu B'Shvat's coming up. Purim's coming up. Sukkot is coming up way closer than Hanukkah's coming up, Naomi.
Just get the chosen person in your life. A beautiful tea.
And there are links to literally everything. You get links to even the new YouTube channel I set up with clips from the Twitch show. If you just go to either our Twitter or our Instagram, and there's a little link tree I made in the bio for both of them.
He grew a link tree for you, okay? Andy used his bare hands.
Yes, speaking of Tu B'Shvat coming up, which is, if you don't know, Jewish Arbor Day.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Why is there a separate Arbor Day?
What do you mean? Because we did it first. We did it 5,000 years ago when we were wandering in Israel, wandering in Egypt, in the desert and saying there's not enough trees. Plant a couple. Plant a link tree. Let people know where you're selling t-shirts.
Okay, Andy, I think it's time we get to the one, the only Michelle Balloon.
Roll it. right before we started, you texted us.
Oh,
you
my
said,
God.
You just got COVID results, and we are here to hear the answer, the result of your COVID test.
I was terrified. I am negative.
Woo!
Yeah, baby.
It is insane because, like a Gen Xer that I am, I don't need to be out indoor dining or partying, you know. I've been inside. We have the option to send our child to school. No, we're staying home. Alex is working from home. Yeah. I'm waiting, okay?
Yes.
I'm waiting until everybody gets their shit together. And the spread has been going up here in Philly. I have not done anything except for doctor's visits. I got my hair cut in August, which was a risk. I take walks around the neighborhood, always masked. It was my birthday last weekend. I decided to treat myself to a weekend at the Four Seasons in Philadelphia.
Okay, I love it though. It should be clean.
Is that the one near City Hall?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah, it's like it's right. It's overlooking the Parkway and like the art museum. You can see to the left, and you know Logan Square. It's great. And then 2 days before that, I used to go to the spa in Center City like every month and a half. I just get my waxings. You know, I get my waxings done. I get a facial. I get a massage. My eyebrows were like, they were living their own life. My eyebrows were so insane. I forgot how they looked. I forgot that a friend of a friend of mine had staged an intervention on my eyebrows when I was like 27. He was like, did you know that you could clean those up? And I have had them nice since then.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And finally, I just allowed myself to go in to the same nice spa that I would go to. And she's like, I'm wearing a mask. I have a face shield. And I'm like, do they really contact trace at these places? Like, are they really going to call people and be like, some states are different, but the CDC does not recommend it because I've been looking at their website. And and so I thought the only way I could have gotten it is from there. Four Seasons was great. I was masked the whole time. I did not indoor dine. I had them bring the food from their nice restaurants to my room.
Yes.
I was as careful as you can be. I walked around, if you know Philly, Center City, Rittenhouse Square, on the weekend. Everybody's out. Outside. For some reason, they're like, oh, we're outdoor brunching. Well, I guess we can shove the tables as close together as possible.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's people, yeah, and there's a high percentage of mask wearing in Philadelphia, but guess what? It's supposed to be 95%. Take your 75, 60, and go home, you know? And so I was pissed, like, because I have seasonal allergies. I also have multiple sclerosis, which does not make me more susceptible to getting coronavirus. The drug I'm on would only make it so it would be harder for me to make antibodies so I could get it again if I got it. But it does suck for me to be sick because I generally feel sick. And so my seasonal allergies came on and I had just gone into the world and I've been feeling bad. Like a normal, regular, oh, Michelle has a cold, whatever, she's still going to come out kind of a thing. But I just was not feeling good. And I finally, it's not easy to get it. It's not LA. It's not easy to get a test here. But I happen to know, not my regular doctor, but another doctor. I have a cell phone number of a doctor that I've seen, and she like hooked it up, and I was able to do a drive through yesterday. And she even texted me today and was like, "I've checked; it's still not there yet." I don't know.
That's so nice. I love that you have an in with a doctor. I wish.
It was insane. And so, anyhow, I literally just found out because I texted her back. I was like, "If I fucking have coronavirus, I'm gonna be so pissed." At the world for surging when we didn't even have to be here, you know.
Right. So. Right.
I think COVID tests should be returned in like a Academy Award envelope. And the results are negative.
You
the
are
winner is Moonlight.
Not the bearer of coronavirus.
Oh, that's what negative should be. Negative should be Moonlight, and positive should be La La Land.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's how
Guess
people
what?
Would know.
I've never seen. Oh yeah, Lala. We're just talking about a reference. I know that reference. Also, never seen Lala. Love Moonlight. Never seen La La Land because every time I see a trailer and it's described to me, I'm like, "There's no way I'm gonna like this movie."
Yeah. You're fine. You're not missing a thing.
I'm sure people do like it, and that's totally okay.
but I know that I just doesn't seem like a movie.
It was not like, it was funny. The opening number, I was like, yes, I'm in it. Musical. Mm-hmm. And then it was all downhill from there. Like, I could never see something start so strong and then be so bad after that. It ends with her singing us improvised. Like, she's in an audition that she has to improvise. It's a movie, literally a major motion picture brings her into audition, and the audition is tell us a story.
Yeah, that's every audition I've ever been on. Every commercial audition, every film and or that's TV like an audition.
That's like an actor doing open mics, you know? You're like, oh, Jesus, tell us a story. I don't want to hear that person who has no idea where sentences end. Like,
I don't want to, obviously we won't tell who this person is, but there was a like well-known person at a show Naomi was on doing stand-up or storytelling something for the first time.
Okay.
And everyone had like 10, 12 minutes and they just didn't understand that there was a light, didn't understand like any of the mechanics and rambled for close to 40 minutes.
I mean, let me tell you this though. And this is how I knew we had a problem. She had, was it 5 single spaced pages?
No.
And I said, baby girl, that's not 10 minutes. Like I could just look at the paper. And she goes, she was like, I have it here. And I said, oh no.
10 minutes
we
is
having a problem if she
10
is
minutes
single space.
On stage is what? About maybe a page.
It's
single
a
space, half a page, probably.
No, single space, I would say a page, maybe. Mm-hmm. No, a page and a half. But again, it's like, that's only if you say it exactly as written and
yeah,
don't
if
pause.
You have it memorized.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It was.
No, that's. You know, you mentioned the Moonlight La La Land, like that kind of is going to be, even though this is now airing at some later date. So everyone that's listening that knows what's happened, that's essentially what, because Trump's going to be like, I won. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I won.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I won.
Yep.
I won. I'm not saying Trump is, I'm not saying I know what I want. I know what should happen.
Of
I'm
course.
Not saying what is going to happen because you have to live like the shit's going to hit the fan and that's it. And that's just how people live all over the place and we'll do it. And there's
shit
races.
I'm going to say this. This is a politics-free zone. Couples therapy.
Oh, it is.
A politics.
Only for sanity, not because.
Only
like,
for sanity.
No,
not
this is a positive. This is an affirmation. It's not. It's just like.
Yeah. We are very politically active. I am in DSA.
Oh,
we support.
This one phone banks like his life depends on it.
We support
many
local candidates here.
Yeah,
but
I know.
But in the future,
we'll do a round table. But yeah, it's so whatever happens.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
For the listener, we are taping this Sunday, daylight savings day. So we're all like wrecked in terms of like sleep. I mean, not that we haven't been wrecked in terms of sleep for weeks, but extra daylight savings sleep.
48 hours till the day.
And the election is this Tuesday. So if that gives you any kind of
and Michelle didn't know of whether or not she had cocoa. Okay,
that's right.
The tension was high.
Where are mental? But
that
like,
is 100%. It. I did not. What I had was no, God, please, I can't live. Put me in a coma. I wish it was a disease. I just want to go away now.
Right.
I'm gonna take an Ambien every 12 hours for the next 3 days,
dude.
Michelle, wait. There are 3, maybe 4 things that we wanted to talk about.
Okay,
number,
good. And you know, you stayed at my house and I wasn't here, so some of it's going to be about that.
Yes.
Well, yes. Yeah. One of them is you are the reason we have Mabel. You're the reason we have our sweet dog,
you're
Mabel.
You're the reason. It's you.
Trail B.
Because we came to your house after performing at Good in Philly. Oh. We came in like thieves in the night. Your husband, the calmest human I've ever met. I was almost unsettled.
Beautiful house.
Uh-huh. Thank you. The most gorgeous home.
The kind of house I want.
Home.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
I said,
and you know the
like,
kind of
here.
House you could probably afford, weirdly.
I'll move and, there. I love it. I said, oh, you guys, wood floors. It's like old original detail. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're living, loving. And what you have also is 2 cats and a dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's, as you
West
know,
West Philly. I lived in South Philly when I lived in Philadelphia.
Yeah. We have backyards.
We had a concrete little yard. I could go out and grill my veggie burgers with my friend Josh. It was
no. We have to go back to how our lives changed that night.
So,
because we were only in our house for maybe 10 hours, like right? Like I don't think it was even that long. But we walk in, Michelle's lovely husband. He like gets us settled, and then we go up to the room. Our room we're staying in, gorgeous. Wanted to move in, and
than
Let me just say, I just want to say one thing. The guest bedroom is gigantic, and we could not, there was no other way with the setup of the house. So then I just decided to make it look like a hotel suite as much as I could, because it is ridiculously big, because there was just nothing else we could do with it.
Oh no, you made the most perfect room. I'm surprised you don't have a cycle of comedians in your house, like, or at least
we
you
do, we
four
did.
Times. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
you take it over for, like, comedy condos.
Mm-hmm. You're the comedy condo of Philadelphia.
Yeah, except it's comedy condo with a, like, sort of, there's a tax on, like, how much do I like you? Right. it's like what Republicans want to do. Sorry, it's no politics reason. Let's just say there's a barrier, there's a poll tax on my house, and it's whether or not you're irritating to me, and if or not, I have to be home. But it just so happened I wished I could have been home when you were here. I just wasn't.
I know, we wish, but then the beautiful thing is your sweet dog, like, jumps on the bed, mm-hmm, and then the cat, like, I think comes in and maybe joins him on the bed, him mm-hmm. or her, I don't know, join them. And I was like, Andy, look, they're just getting along, and they're friends, and they're living so comfortably. And I remember when I had seen you at Michelle Buteau's house, where she mm-hmm. famously did not trust me to hold her baby. She was like, it was so funny. We'll also always have that together, you and I.
Yeah, that was really funny. Then, she wanted to act like that wasn't it, and just, yeah. But like, it like, was, yeah.
I was like,
she's over that now.
No, it was just funny because I have never been a person someone wouldn't trust with a baby. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I've never, yeah. I was like, wow, this is like a new experience.
You've got baby trusting energy.
Exactly. I've got a full bosom and an open heart.
100%.
Why, give me your baby. But I will say that once I knew she was nervous, it made me nervous. Like, I wasn't nervous going in, but then the moment she was like, I guess you can hold the baby, I was like, hot potato.
So did you hold it like you were like a cell phone slipping through your hand? Oh, baby.
That would have been the comedic move. I mean, just almost drop the baby.
Use the baby for prop comedy. But but when we were at Michelle's, you were telling me about how you got your dog from the Lang Foundation.
Yes.
And that they cat tested the dog. So I was like, okay, you know, I heard that before. And then we were at your house and I could see it in action.
We saw mm-hmm. the dog and cat getting along.
Living in harmony.
Living in harmony. Sorry, Ghostbusters, but dogs and cats can live together in harmony.
They totally did. They're not going to make, they're not going to interbreed.
Right.
Mix.
Right.
It's not that kind of house.
But they were so, but it was so cute. And like literally.
Our fear.
Was that June or July? We were at Lang. We got Mabel end of August. Like it was that close.
Yes. That's a great place, isn't it?
Yeah,
it was.
Our fear was that I'd heard Dana Gould told a story on his podcast about like they got a dog from a shelter and it killed their cat.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't deal with that. These,
well, of course.
I've had Squee and Premly for, well, now 13 years. But at the time, it was 12.
Oh, yeah. My cats are 14. Yes,
yeah.
So
yeah.
And I'm like, aged.
I can't bring a predator into the house.
No.
And so that image, he like described it in gory detail too, by the way. And I'm like, that image stuck in my head. And I'm like, wait, and Naomi has wanted a dog since we moved to LA. But then seeing your dog and your cat together, and then finding out that the Lang Foundation cat tests their dogs, brings the dog into a room multiple times with multiple cats to make sure that they're not aggressive. Gave us the faith to get Mabel.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's great. And and the thing is my cat, my dog is very sweet. It's a very sweet, sweet dog. The cats hate the dog.
Really?
So it's like a reverse. The cats are like they're like very, so that my dog is actually very submissive to the cats. Like they'll sleep near each other and stuff. But my dog is very sweet. And I'm just like, sometimes I look at my dog and I'm like, why don't you just bite him? Like, just bite him. Like, I literally am like, just bite him. Like, he's coming over and he killed, like, the orange cat, your mom. My cats are your mom and my mom.
Oh, really?
He'll just walk over and just be like, I'm grooming you, dog. And then we'll just bite the dog. Like, bite Trilby, my dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, you have big teeth and you're larger. Like, just bite him, growl a little. But he doesn't.
That's so funny because that's what we say, the reverse of the cats. Like, Mabel, though. She doesn't want to bite, but Mabel is very bossy. And so, for instance, when the cats, like, start to...
Tussle,
but also scratch. If they start to kind of scratch a chair...
Scratch their scratching post.
Yeah. She literally, like, comes over and is like, stop making noise. Like, she really is, like... She's a little bossy.
Helpful.
Well, sometimes it's helpful, but then sometimes I have to say, Mabel, I'm on top of it. You're not in charge
she's
here.
She's not...
This is not your job.
It's not your job.
She does it when we hug. I don't mean anything like more than like smooching and hugging, but just like hugging, she thinks we're being like attacking each other or something.
If
she...
we hug and laugh, I know it's like the sound of like if I'm around you and like laughing, Mabel like comes in and is like, no. What did she witness? What murder did she witness? You know?
Does Mabel like pull her little sandal off and is just like shaking?
She has a rolling pin and she's wearing a bathrobe. She read a lot of anti-cap comics when she was a puppy.
What was your other thing you wanted to ask?
Oh. Okay, so the other thing I was thinking of when how long ago were you on with Martha?
Nine years in quarantine.
I was 22.
You guys talked about your kind of drunken, debaucherous
youth
together.
Youth.
Oh yeah, we were big. I can't even. I mean, I don't know if either of you were ever blackout drunks, but sometimes I think of it, and I'm just like, how. Like, on earth did I just walk around and think, I'm going to be blackout on these streets tonight? Right. Like, it's just, I mean, and then I got to L.A. and people weren't getting, I still knew Austin people, so we would get really drunk together. But I would come home to my apartment in in Hollywood on Franklin and Sycamore. I lived there for most of the time I was in L.A. And this one of the people who lived in the apartment building with me, she'd see me come in, I mean, and I was done. I was gone. Yeah. And then would, I guess, help me in. And then would, the next day, like, would always, like, Michelle, I really think that you need to not drink so much. And I'm like, who are you? God, I had a great time. She's like, you were so drunk. I know. But, I mean, I knew what I was doing. It's just I don't remember it. That's how blackouts work. You're in it. You're operating. But no, I was just a real, and then I moved to Vienna. I lived in Vienna, and Alex doesn't drink very much. So I lived in Vienna. This was before we were married. Although I made him kind of say, listen, we're going to eventually just be together for a long time if I'm going to move to Vienna with you. And I was there for a year and a half with him. He doesn't drink very much, but I would go to this cafe across the street and just fear for beer. It's 4 p.m. time to drink. And I learned German when I was there, and I just got wasted with these. Wow. And now I've taken it back a notch, and he doesn't drink very much, and so I don't, but I still have it in me, you know.
Wait, so that's what I was going to ask, was you guys were together then? Like, when did you get together?
Oh, no. He was never with me. The first time he ever saw me, super, super drunk, and Tenny could be walking up like, oh, I'm going to be listening to my mother's blackout stories. I think they're upstairs. I had slowed it down a lot. The first time he ever saw me that drunk was in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out with some guys that I had been been taking my German classes with, and one of them was a Cypriot from that, you know, island of Capri, and one of them was British or an Italian, whatever, a bunch of dudes. and we went together to this the Cypriot's friend party or whatever, and you know, and I just got total with these guys. I mean, we just got totally wasted, and then we came home, and Alex the next day he's like. And he goes, I found you on the chair. You were trying to go to the bathroom in the chair.
Oh.
And I was like, what? And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, your pants were around your ankles and you like fell asleep there. And I'm like, no, I wasn't trying to go to the bathroom. I was trying to take my pants off and I passed out. I mean, come on.
Indignant, Michelle. Indignant.
I know. Like, totally different worlds. Totally. But it was... Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, me, Chris Fairbanks, and Brendan Walsh, and Jim Hamilton, and all sorts of rapscallions. And they still get pretty drunk in Austin, I just do have to say. So it's still happening. I get pulled in sometimes when I go there, but it's not as fun. It's not very fun anymore.
Wait, what's it about Austin that's such a raucous?
Because it's weird, quote unquote.
I was there for a festival once. There's barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, Austin and I went to college at University of Wisconsin in Madison, both Madison and Austin. Madison. I mean, they're just drunk towns. They're just, we're getting wasted, you know?
Yeah.
We're getting wasted, then we're going to go out and have, you know, breakfast at 3 in the morning.
Oh, I miss that.
Yeah.
I'm, the breakfast at 3 in the morning. Not the way. Yeah. But like I miss being able to get food like that. You know, LA, you know, LA is a sleepy town. It goes to bed pretty early as a place. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
But now here's a question though. Because in the city, you know, your husband famously, I've been using famously lately, Michelle. Mm-hmm, yeah. He's famously, you know, like low key, even keeled. Like he is, isn't he a doctor?
Yeah, he's a PhD in evolutionary biology. I'm probably getting this wrong, but he's a genetics researcher the medical school at
my
Penn.
God, okay.
I hear he's the new Stephen Jay Gould.
Stephen Jay Gould.
Yes. And
I'll
like
tell him you said that.
Very like, you know, like a mellow guy, kind of like, and you know, you're at least your past, right? Like. You're a gal about town. You're giving us energy. You're taking us on a trip. How did that love come to be?
Yeah. You know, yeah, I think, I think the MS has slowed me down. So it's like sort of like, you know, at least it's like I'm almost, you know, a little bit like he can kind of keep up a little bit. But he, oh God, my mic is slipping. I like him not even. Okay. I thought this is the thing. I met him online in 2007. Mm-hmm. And he, I just was, for me, like, it's like, the, for me, like, it was like the, it wasn't working for me dating people like in the, on the scene. And mm-hmm. so I just thought when I met him, I just thought it was great that he was like a scientist and was interested in all of these things, but he also was very interested in like what I did. And so there's no like sort of competition for like being the center of attention. And also like he, there's no sort of, you know, he's a homebody, mm-hmm. homebody, you know? So in ways it's like, yeah, it's not like sort of this sort of like, oh God, here's my drinking crazy night buddy.
Right.
But it's the opposite of that, which is like kind of what I wanted to have more as like a mainstay. So I think that it's just worked out, but it's for the most part, like he just lets me do whatever I want. Like I can hang out, I could do whatever, like he's not I'm more jealous than he is. And he doesn't do anything. You know, I'm like, why is that person emailing you? You know, just kidding, but
are you getting jealous of other scientists?
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, I slept in the bed with that guy last night. You know, I fucking hate him, but you know, like we only had a boy. Whatever, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm just making an example of something that wouldn't bother him. But no, it's great. He's a super smart, funny guy. Our like total like thinking aligned, mm-hmm. you know, on most things and other things we can discuss. And he'll see my side of things.
And you're right in the end. That's gorgeous.
Name all of those things.
And I always ask this just because to me, I'm always like comedians who have kids, and, like mm-hmm. the decision to have kids. I'm always like asking people about kids where I'm like, you did it.
Well, we're fascinated by it.
Exactly. I'm fascinated.
We don't have that drive in either of us.
Well, I always wanted a kid. So like that was something I knew about myself. And honestly, when I moved to Vienna with Alex, I said, okay, just so you know, like at the time I was like, you know, 33 or something. And I just said, if we're going to get engaged and we're going to get married, I just want you to know that I'm not a person who, if we're already going to do those things, I know that I want a kid and I would rather just have one. You know, I would rather have one like front load the marriage with a child. and so that was kind of what it was going in. You know, I really had stopped and started my comedy career, not really stopped, but mm-hmm. When I went to Vienna, you know, already. And the part of me like regrets certain things, you know, like, oh, why? Like, I remember when I was going to move to Vienna, I was at Bridgetown Comedy Festival and Natasha Leggero was like, I was talking to her and I said something about like, oh, I'm going to go to Vienna. What? Why are you... You're giving up comedy? I'm like, well, I'm not giving up. I just, it's a new experience. I just am going to go there for a little while. What? You know? It was a nice move. And so the same thing with having a kid. I just, you know, and it was nice. Like we're, you know, it's not like it was a completely a joint venture with mm-hmm, the, you know, mm-hmm. with the exception of the breastfeeding part. But, but no, it was great. But I just had one, you know, if I was younger, if I wasn't a comedian who wanted to leave, if we could ever leave again, when we could leave.
Right.
It would be more difficult. I like to travel with Tenny. Like, we travel. Tenny is an amazing traveler. He's been able to pack their own suitcase since they were like three.
I love that. A child used to take places.
Yes. And I was, even when I used to fly with Tenny on the plane, even when they were really, really little, I used to make them say this like thing. I would be like, no kicking the seat, no screaming, no crying, you know? And
yes.
I just said, no.
So. Yes. You win. You win motherhood. Yeah. We all need to be telling these children, no kicking.
Hold on.
No,
let's open the envelope. The envelope says Moonlight
for
motherhood. Moonlight for motherhood.
Yes. But no, it just is what you make of it. And, you know, what's going to be weird now, I think, is I used to travel so much, and now Tenny has had me home since February. Right.
Right. And is it, so, I mean, wait, because how old are they? Like 11-ish, 12-ish?
Not quite, 8.
Oh.
But still.
See, I know nothing about kids.
Yeah, whatever.
I feel like
23?
20, 30? No, because I think it's like when I saw a picture, they were like on a skateboard and like looking really cool. And
that's a 12-year-old thing, a skateboard.
They definitely put on some airs, you know, for an 8-year-old.
Yeah, like a cool
But no, they're very sort of, they're precocious, you know, in the best of ways. And but that comes from like me, like being kind of, you know, it's like when you have like, Tenny will like write, like when they read certain books, I'll have them write a book report and then I'll be like, let's talk about paragraphs. Like I'm very much like, okay, so this is how it works. Okay,
wow.
So really, I understand you don't know about commas yet, but when you're starting something with a when, then like, you know.
Oh my gosh.
So they're constantly like overusing vocabulary that's not quite there yet. And, doing cool things like skateboarding.
Wait, can I go back to Vienna for a second?
Yeah.
How long were you guys dating before?
That was the part where it was, I had never even lived with anybody before. We were dating when we moved to Vienna, we had been dating, 2 years. So when I knew he was going, we had been only dating just over a year. And I just said, I'm not interested in a long distance relationship. And then he just kind of kept asking. And I just finally said, well, you understand, because at the time I was a web developer. I mean, I supported myself. I like made a nice living and was doing stand up. So I was very busy. And I just said, well, if we move to Vienna, I have to quit my job. And I still have bills I have to pay. And I said, but I'm not going to pay them. Like if we're moving to Vienna and where I can't work, and he goes, that's fine. I said, but I need you to sign something that says that's fine.
Really?
I made him like sign. It was like on a napkin, like at a bar. And I was just like, I watched Judge Judy too much. I was just like, listen, I need this signed and dated, very clear. And I paid off all my credit cards before I left. That was my contribution. And and then my friend Jim Hamilton, who's a very funny comedian who doesn't really do comedy that much anymore, we went to college together, and he just kind of follows me around the country wherever I move. But I asked him, or forcefully suggested, that he leave his apartment and move into mine, where I let him sublet it for the same price that he was paying, and then I paid the overage, and then so I could just leave my cats and my stuff there. Because I just felt weird about moving to a different country with a man.
Of course.
With a person.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you need to have a backup. You need to have escape route. I hear you.
Also, was that tough leaving your cats? Because I get paranoid leaving them for the weekend.
It wasn't. I leave my child all the time. So like, I was just like... But Jim was living with me at the time that I got them. Like Jim, and the many times he's couch surfed, he was actually like when I got them from Lang, you know, like he was sleeping on my couch at the time. So I was totally comfortable with him living there with the cats. And so it was, you know, I had to do it. So it was fine. Yeah, I was not going to make a decision. I mean, for me, I was not going to make a decision based on my pet.
Well, okay, Andrew, you know, you should hear Michelle as she says this and think about how
I'm trying.
You can incorporate some of that into your own life.
I'm trying to be better. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, like, you know, they get mad when you return, but they adjust,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're it's fine just, when you're gone, but you come home and then it's like this, like, serious, like, tone in their their meow.
So, you know, as you said, it's like 2 years in and then you suddenly moved to Vienna together. And I'm assuming that was for, you know, genetics. He was like working.
Was that
right?
Like a postdoc or something?
Yeah, it was a postdoc. Yeah, it was a postdoc. Yeah, that was his last postdoc, I think. I could yell right now. Whatever. He was at a few places. Like, he was at, USC and then UCLA after Vienna. And but, yeah, it was at the Gregor Mendel Institute outside of Vienna.
Okay. So the point is he's busy, right? You know, like, he's, like, doing – he's there.
Yeah,
and you're there
it
to,
was
like,
insane.
Experience Vienna? Like,
it was so
all
weird.
Day?
I don't know. Like, I just was – I can't believe I did it. I decided to take German classes. Mm-hmm. So it was me and a bunch of expats, but none of them were English speaking, right? So I was in a class with all sorts of people from all sorts of places, mm-hmm. And learning German. And I would go to this cafe across the street from us every day. Mm-hmm. And they were not big on small talk. And so I'd just show up with my laptop, uh-huh. you know, and I'd use their internet. And I'd watch Judge Judy and I'd sit there. But then I was taking German classes, so I'd keep showing up. And then I started learning German and I started mm-hmm. picking it up as I was there. And then they started being way more friendly to me because they realized I wasn't just sort of like I was trying to mm-hmm. like sort of like just actually not like not just sort of like the 90-day fiance. Like, I'm not learning anything about your culture. I'm not going to even pronounce a word that we use also in American English correctly. I thought that was really fun, and I would make like language dates with like old men, like, you know what I mean? And I would like talk to like the owner's children. So that was really great. I joined the women's group, like these old ladies, and I'd go on tours with them and go have coffee.
What
was
are you saying?
Bizarre.
Tours? This sounds like heaven to me. You and old ladies went on tours of what?
Naomi, you would have loved it. It's just some old fancy lady with a bunch of other like wives, I guess, like walking around. Like, they're all like in heels on cobblestone. I'm like, who in the hell? And that's amazing. It was nuts. And then I would go on trips by myself. I had some friends who lived in France and Germany, and it was really cheap to fly when mm-hmm. you're there. Mm-hmm. And I would just go, we would do trips together too. We would mm-hmm. do train trips and we flew some places when he could. But yeah, and I would just, there were times when I was depressed because mm-hmm. it was very lonely, yeah. you know, but I had to go back. I never got a residence permit when I was there. Alex was always a very like, oh, you're gonna get a residence permit. He never actually figured out how you would do it. He just thought I'd show up and they'd be like, here you go, and you're not married, but we trust you. And and so I had to go back every 3 months. So you could only stay for 90 days out of every 6 months, and so I'd count to the day. And and I'd have to fly back and forth. And I'd stay at my, you know, apartment in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I'd stay with my parents. I'd go to New York. I would just mm-hmm. kind of go all over the place. But no, it was a great experience. I loved learning a language and living there. And mm-hmm. And it was just, I miss it, but I was ready to leave when I did because I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't working. I wasn't doing stand-up because I was nervous about it. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. And so, yeah. But it was a good experience.
Yeah.
And then I said, sehr gut. That's you. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was
very good.
Thank you for the polite laugh.
Honey, we're 7 months into quarantine. I no longer polite laugh.
Dude.
If he says it and I don't know, I let it hang in the air. I let it hang, Michelle.
I am worse. I mean, if I am told a joke or in the presence of a joke that's not funny, but it's meant to be a joke, I'll say, why would you say that in front of me? You know that I...
Okay, Michelle, I'm getting this sense that you're, like, secretly a really, like, harsh critic.
I do it to Tenny.
Yes, because you'll be like, Tenny, paragraphs, please. And Tenny's like, I'm four. And, you know, in like this sense, and like you being like, was this a joke? Also, you know, very self-sufficient, or the extent to which, you know, you said to your husband before he was your husband, like, okay, if I'm coming to Vienna, we doing this, okay? Yeah. So you need to get on board with the situation. You know, it's interesting because you're very warm. And even when you say it, it sounds nice. But it's really you saying...
I just don't want to get caught in something. I just don't want to get caught in something. And then the other part is, yeah, I try not to be such a hard ass. I mean, try. But I, with Tenny, like, Tenny's very funny. But, like, because they're funny, I kind of will like, be like, well, that's, they'll say, like, is what I said funny? And I'll just say, it's, what you said is really obvious, and when you want to tell a joke, it has to be kind of a surprise, you know.
So,
I know, it's terrible.
So then Tenny will be the greatest stand-up of their generation.
I hope not, right?
Mom, I wrote a joke about you doing a stand-up in Germany, in Austria.
In Austria. Yeah. Oh, no.
Nope, not good. I'm sorry. I polite laughed at Andy's, but I'm going to tell you the truth.
All right, Michelle, we're going to take a quick break now that I feel like we have connected to your essence. And yes. Now we will answer some listener relationship questions.
Oh, good.
All right, you guys, we'll be right back with Michelle Balloon to help you handle your scandal.
Very good.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles. Plus, lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back with Michelle Balloon, ready to answer your cues. We have established, okay? Michelle is married. Michelle is tough. Michelle don't take your shit. But Michelle be up in Vienna living the life. Warm but tough.
Warm but tough.
Can I just say that Alex and I were talking about you guys. I said, because we don't have we don't have a ton of friends here. It's weird not being in a show businessy type place, you know? Mm-hmm. But we were like, if we lived in LA, we would totally be friends with Naomi and Andy.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Because Andy and Alex were talking a little bit about like academia and, you know, sciencey stuff. And I was like, oh, good, good, good. Andy, get into it. You know, I don't know any other words. I don't know what that means.
Have fun.
Cytosine.
Yeah. And he's so polite. He'll be like, okay, good job, Andy.
he was really like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, even keeled. When people are like really chill though, I get nervous. Like, I notice when I'm around people who are just, like, very kind of, like...
Sure, you project... Because I do this, too. We project our insecurities onto them.
Like, because I, like, say everything I'm feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, when I meet someone who's just like, uh-huh. Like, it's like I don't need to do much. We don't need to, like, do all... And I'm like, yeah. Do you hate me? Yeah. Do you hate me?
We just talked to Tig and Steph, and because they're both very calm, we immediately project our insecurities right onto them.
It was the most awkward... I mean, like, I loved it, but it's literally just like, do you like us? Are you happy? Imagine.
I know it seemed okay for the last 3 years I've known you, but I really have needed to ask you this question. Do you like me?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah,
it's like the people who are calm are a movie screen that we project the void inside us onto.
The void inside.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is that's so funny, though, because, you know, especially you, but I find like I am attracted. Like, I do like calm people because I am like all over the place.
Yes.
And so it's just very funny because you seemed like a calm person when I met you, Andy, because you were so kind of like
her.
Exactly. He fucking played me. Uh-huh. And then once I got in his brain, I was like, oh, shit, you just like me.
Yes. But, Alex goes like 0 to 60. Like, I'm really good, like, with customer service issues and making it not seem like a thing. Knowing when you just need to sort of like talk about something and then maybe you'll get something nice in return. Maybe you won't. But when something bad happens, I'm also really good with that. Like, just sort of just saying, okay, we've kind of had to wait for a long time and you said this, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Alex, like, one time we went to Hawaii a couple of years ago and we had to wait for like a rental car shuttle and it was ridiculous. It was like an hour or something and there was tons of families and they had said every 15 minutes we're coming around and all these people were getting mad.
Yeah.
And I was tired, it was fucking hot. And they came around, and Alex, in the full shuttle, and Alex, like, opened, like, when they opened up the door to say, nobody can get on this bus, sorry, wait longer. Alex was just like, fuck you! Like, he just starts yelling, and I'm like, what? Like, you're not going to get anything free if you do that.
I cannot imagine it, the yelling.
It was just like, oh, Jesus. And then I took care of it at the Enterprise place. All these other people that had the same thing happen to them, I'm like, you're going to be dicks about this.
Yeah.
So don't be a dick and then work magic. But yeah.
Exactly.
Can I ask a quick question before we get to the advice questions? That the 3 months thing, is that where 90 Day Fiancé comes from?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Oh, is it? Is it the same? I don't know. I'm going to agree with you, but the 3 months is a Schengen treaty. I don't know. I think that's maybe like just a standard among, but there's a Schengen treaty. You can only be in the UK doesn't count. And I don't even know what the fuck's going to happen now. It's Brexit. And it's like, there's another country that doesn't count, but you can only be in certain countries, in Europe for 90 days out of every 6 months.
Yes. Yes.
And
that's it. That's why it's like, they have the 90 days to get to know each other. Or that person has to go back. So that's why
I've watched all of it.
Andy watched one with me and he was just like, I'm too depressed. I like watching it. I will tell you this though, I wish that show was half an hour shorter each episode. Every episode is 2 hours. We don't need all that.
No, I forward over people I don't like, conversations I don't want to hear.
I'm like, we don't need all this. But it's like, some of these people are wild. Okay, Andy, give us the first question or else I'm going to get into 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
All right. We get DMs on Instagram, on Twitter. We get Gmails. Of course, what we love most are the voicemails. And you can call 323-524-7839 and leave an advice voicemail of your own. In quarantine, we're answering any kind of question, not just relationship questions. And of course, this first one is a voicemail, and here we go.
Hello, my name is Jana. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York. First, I just want to say I love this podcast so much. I've been listening since it started as a podcast, and back then I was living in Australia. Shout out to Naomi, because I know you lived there too for a bit. I lived there for 5 years, and I got really homesick, and this show just really helped me to feel, you know, a little closer to America and the good parts of America that I appreciate and I like. So thank you for that. I also got to see you guys last year at the Virgil when we were coming back from Australia. We did a road trip through the West Coast, and we stopped and saw one of your shows, and it was amazing. So love you guys so much. So my question is kind of random. It's about a cat. So basically, my husband and I moved back to New York last year, and we got this awesome apartment in a beautiful area. We love it so much. It was newly renovated. It was just like one of those deals that you're like, I can't believe I found this deal in New York. Newly renovated, not too expensive, just awesome. But the thing was, our landlord said no pets. And we agreed to it because we just wanted to be in this apartment so bad. But I knew deep down in my heart that I wanted a pet because I'm 32, my husband's 33. You know, we're kind of in that nesting phase of, you know, wanting to have a little something to take care of, and love, and not a kid. You know what I'm saying? Not a kid. So no judgment on anyone who has kids, but it's just not for us. Not right now, at least. So anyway, we said okay. We thought fine. We'll deal with it. But then quarantine hit, and we just, you know, we're home all the time, and my best friend was fostering cats, kittens, and she just found this like adorable gray kitten that she thought would be perfect for us, and one thing led to another, and now we have a cat. No regrets at all, because he's amazing, and his name is Artemis, and he's gray, and we call him Artie, and he's so sweet, and he has made our lives a million times better, so no regrets at all. But what do we do? Do we tell our landlord, come clean, and beg for mercy and hope for the best and hope that he doesn't evict us or like can evict us right now because of quarantine? Or do we just not tell him and just hope he never finds out and just, you know, just hope that that all works out? I will say he's like an older fellow. He doesn't usually come by that often. So I've seen him in the building a couple times, but he's never actually been inside our apartment. Since we've lived here for 10 months. We have like a year left on the lease, or a little longer than a year. It's a 2-year lease. I don't know what to do because I do love this apartment. So I'm afraid either solution is going to jeopardize our living situation. I don't know. What to do? Please help. Please help.
Well,
John is going through it. I also really, again, this is what I like about a voicemail. I really sense who this person is.
Oh, yeah.
That voicemail gave me so much personality, really let me know what she's about. So, I mean, you've had, as you said, you've had your cats for 14 years, and you've lived so many places. I know they haven't gone everywhere with you, but
here's the thing. When I moved to, I got a cat when I was, like 11 or something. I moved to Austin, to college, Austin, LA with a cat. And so until she was like 17 and finally passed away, and, it'll be okay. I moved into the apartment with her, and the landlord is kind of a weirdo. He did know that I had a cat, but he basically was like, you are not supposed to have a cat. So because he didn't own it. So it was never on the lease. Well, then what happened was years later, he got fired because he was a real creep. And this was in 2009, when I was paying like $1,100 for a humongous one bedroom.
Yeah.
They were trying to get more money, you know, for apartments anything they could do to get people out. And they basically, everyone had pets in that building and was not supposed to. And they found out, or they knew I had cats, or a cat. I'm sorry, I had a cat. No, at that time my cat had died. I had two cats. Yeah. So I had gotten a cat. I had a cat when I moved in. That cat died. And I told the owners, I'm getting two kitties, you know. And they used that to kick me out of the apartment. And I had to leave in a month. So this is my thing. You already have it. Don't say shit. And so That's what I think. I mean, yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with it. Make sure that you take care of the cat. It doesn't stink, you know?
Like exactly. It can't pee on the floor.
Like cat litter. Yeah. Like,
right,
that's
right.
That's it. Be a good person. But at this point, you did it, you know, but don't put the landlord or your manager in the position. I don't even know if he's the owner, you know, right?
Right, so, right, right.
Of even knowing.
I think- wait. Quick question. How is that due to creep?
Oh, yeah. He used to do photography in his apartment, but very sort of lurid. I mean, I don't know. People can take pictures with their clothes off if they want, but this dude was creepy, and so he'd sort of bring women in, and then do you want to take your shirt off and do? He never asked me, but I. But that was something I was totally cool with. But he had asked other people that were in the building, you know, and he just was just a kind of a creepy, you know, Hollywood dude, like ponytail, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it was right mm-hmm. there off of Hollywood Boulevard. Just a cuckoo creep, you know,
like Terry. What's that guy's name? Terry something, that real creep photographer, fashion photographer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like that. But worse looking.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Ooh. Ooh. Good Lord.
Sorry, honey. Yeah. I just wanted to find out why this dude was a creep. Go.
Well, no, I think I agree. I mean, I'm always ever. I'm like, don't say anything. Yeah. I think, you said, don't let the cats pee on the floor. Keep their nails. You know, I think the one thing landlords don't like if you have wood floors, they're always like, the animal's going to scratch the floors, which, I don't know, has never happened to us, really. Yeah.
Cats, but that's animals don't walk around with their claws sticking all the way out.
I know, and just, slowly, just, I don't know what they think, just dragging themselves across wood. But the only thing is now... Luckily, you're in a pandemic. He's not going to just be stopping by.
No,
The thing is, though, when life goes back to normal, you got to make sure he can't just kind of walk into your apartment for any reason, which sometimes at least says they can. Like, if they say, the person above you has a leak, I got to come in your apartment, you got to make sure that cat's in a closet or something.
Yeah.
It can't just do that, when you're at work. But again, you don't have to worry about that for a while.
The landlord would tell me that. He'd go, they have to come in. The owner can't know you have cats. So you have to give your cat, he'd be like, bring your cat over to your friend's house so they can go into your apartment.
I did that. So this is really, this is actually a pretty stressful situation. Yeah. So when I lived in, after college in Pittsburgh, I moved in with some friend of mine in Squirrel Hill. Now, you want to know, talk about how much things cost? Mm. Pittsburgh, at least this is in the early 2000s, a house in one of the nicest areas, $725, $715 for an entire house to rent me and one other person.
Oh my God.
It was, and then one night I was at my friend John's house who lived a couple blocks away, and my roommate and I were walking home and a cat starts following us, and it's the friendliest cat in the world. Now, on our lease, so this is very cheap, right? This house, but on our lease is no pets, and the cat follows us home, and it's just breaking my heart. I can't just let it. It's so cute, friendly. It's purring. It's scratching up against us. So I'm all right, we'll just take it for the night.
Yeah.
And then that becomes Professor Whiskers. And I had to spend. So I lived in. I lived there for.
You paid for his education.
Exactly.
Sent him to school.
Got to keep him around.
I'm paying off his loan still.
Yeah.
So I, for the next year and a half, I hid Professor Whiskers' existence from Mike. Speaking of creep landlords, this guy was a real creep, old school, 70s serial killer, tinted glasses in my mind, just real, low affect. I just remember. And I remember having how stressful it was having to hide. I mean, I'm agreeing with you guys, but I'm saying that it's a very stressful thing. So you have to have a plan because something would go wrong in the house and he'd have to come in.
Right.
And there were just other times where he would just because we were paying so little, I felt if he came to look at something in the house,
mm-hmm.
A hot water heater or whatever, I don't know. I feel like I have to let him in. And then I would have to do the sweep of the house and make sure there are no cat toys, no cat litter, nothing.
Yeah.
And that was all hidden. Sometimes I would have to take it to my friend Luke's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then Professor Whiskers would have to stay there while Creep Mike would.
My landlord was Mike also.
Oh my gosh.
Are they the same person?
Yeah.
Mike just making his way across the country.
Yeah,
just being a creepy landlord all over the U.S.
I'm sorry that you were so stressed about that.
But I mean, I can see that though, because it is stressful. And I remember, like, for instance, when we moved to this new place, like when we moved to LA, our first apartment, you know, we had the cats, but then we went to get a dog. And this was at the earlier apartment where we were like, uh-oh, do we do it? Do we not? And we were just going to foster. So it was not like to trick them, but I was like, let's just separate. Because it was a foster, I was like, I don't want to have a conversation with them because I may not even keep this dog.
Yeah.
But then they were, you know, a family. They lived like three doors down. Like, we saw them all the time. If they saw me walking a dog, there was going to be no way around it. So
also,
it
there were like weekly problems in our apartment that they had to come fix.
The apartment was like trash. So we just kind of said, I was like, hey, can we foster a dog? We need to know. And even when in all these places too, they want to know your landlord's info to make sure you can have an animal and stuff.
Oh, so, yeah, you're right. Lang Foundation.
God. I didn't want to have to, because they were going to make, we had to pay another $500 deposit. And I just wish, I was like, I already have these animals. Mabel's not like going to do anything else. But Lang want to get all up in your business. They got to call everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I was like, serious. Oh, fine. I'll ask them first. But it's true. Like, again, we're like the long way of saying, like, you already have this cat. You need to not say a damn word.
Yeah.
And you just need to know, like, y'all got to make it clear. Like, you know, he cannot just come in. And if you have a problem in the house, you better clear everything out and then let him come over. That's the only thing you have to be vigilant about.
So that's, and like, and now that you've told your story, Andy, even though I do feel this way where I'm just like, I'm not saying anything. If this is a person who is overcome with anxiety about it, then if that is all they can think about, then I'm not, because it's pandemic times, right? Mm-hmm. And rents are going down in New York even right now, you know, just maybe just tell them if you want. It's not what I would do, you know, thinking like they're not going to kick you out, but then make them sign something saying they won't.
Right. But a napkin.
You know, or a nap. Get drunk with them. Get blackout drunk. 6 feet away, face shields, face masks.
By the way, I 100% agree with you. The cat's more important, but like as someone who like is like a rule follower.
You're a real rule follower.
I'm a real rule follower. It really makes me anxious to not follow rules.
See, I didn't, like, especially with, again, it's different. The building we're in now, if Lang hadn't required it, I wouldn't have, because we have like a management company. So for instance, if something's wrong.
That's what mine was, yeah.
There's no person who's like around. Like literally, like if something's wrong, they just like bring whatever that professional is to fix it.
Yes.
So there's nobody who knows what's up. So part of me is like, I'm just going to bring a dog in the house.
Yes, unless the wasp guy is talking to the termite guy. No one knows what's up.
No one knows what's going on. Ugh, all the creatures in every Los Angeles home.
All right, let's do one more. This comes to us from Gmail, from Lauren.
Lauren Gmail.
The end of October, she said, use her name.
Ooh.
And I asked, do you want to be
anonymous? Say my name. Okay,
hello, Naomi and Andy. I am a longtime listener and fan of the show. I have a question that is about a previous relationship that I am still dealing with because we have a child together.
Whew.
I'll give a bit of backstory just for reference with our situation.
Love a backstory, honey. You should see this paragraph,
I need all
Michelle.
The backstory. All of it.
About 3 years ago, my ex and I were living together and had been dating for about 5 years.
Okay.
I later found out that towards the end of our relationship that he had been in two relationships at the same time for quite some time.
What?
About a year or so.
Two other relationships in addition to that relationship?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
What? That needs to be disclosed. You know it's happening. It needs to be past 3 month period that
Good
you feel
God.
That you've been exclusive.
By the way, this is now in all capitals. So many red flags throughout our relationship that I chose to ignore, and now they all seem clear as day. Lack of boundaries with coworkers, inappropriate texting to old flings, and not putting these chicks in check when he was in a relationship. He obviously liked the attention.
Yep.
Related to lack of boundaries, the person that he was seeing towards the end of our relationship was, of course, a coworker.
Oh, good God.
He would lie and say that he was working when he wasn't. He was a server. That he was with friends or was too drunk to drive home and stayed at her house. And when I was out of town, she stayed in our house.
Absolutely not.
What? Is this
him.
Like a Lifetime movie? Like, this is...
I told you this is a long paragraph. This is my favorite. When someone gives you a long paragraph, you're like, juicy, juicy, juicy.
Oh, my God.
He had told most people in his life that we were basically roommates. Oh, my God.
Oh, good.
and we were just living together, and he was waiting for the best time to break up with me.
I hate him so much.
All this came to... Oh, sorry. Go on, Michelle.
I'm just saying he didn't need to do that. I don't understand why someone would think that they needed to do that. And why, if I was friends with a guy and they've told me shit like this, mm-hmm. I have never said, oh, yeah. But, you know what I mean? I'm just like... No, like fucking then break up with her. Exactly. I don't want to hear her name again.
Right.
You know, why are you lying to me or lying to, like, it just drives me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, it's, come on.
It's sick.
All this came to a head when I found out that I was pregnant.
Oof.
Kind of awkward when your roommate, in quotes, ends up pregnant, but I digress. Soon after we went to Big Bear and he sort of proposed.
Oh,
and then within a month left our house to have, quote, some time to think.
Oh, unquote. My God, this person.
When his brother and sister-in-law told me what was really going on. That's when he was in Big Bear.
Okay.
I asked him to come home and talk. Or no, sorry. That's when he was off on his own. I asked him to come home and talk and asked if he had anything he wanted to say. And he just said, quote, I guess I'm done.
I wish I was a police officer. I wish I could do citizens' arrests.
Yeah.
I just hate selfish people who won't use their words.
And she has that baby.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, no. I'm not saying they should be together. I'm just saying that for him to be like, oh, this is what's helping me make my decision is this, now that you're forced into me forever and I can just pop away now, you know?
Right.
Well, this is in the past. So he's, at that time, they're exes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I just meant that, like, because she knew that she was having the baby and they were tied.
Yes.
In that, and he was like, I'm just, okay, I don't even want to have to deal with this part where I have to pretend this is going to work. I'm going to leave now. Mm-hmm. And she can't leave, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish him the worst.
Certain family members and friends of his later told me how I was the problem in our relationship. Jeez. And, quote, should have seen this coming.
Oh, God, Lauren.
Fast forward. Okay, I have since gotten married to my amazing husband.
Thank God.
And we are expecting around the end of November.
You deserve the world, Lauren.
Yes.
Now, the ex is still with, engaged to, and pregnant with the person that he left us for. None of that bothers me because him cheating and leaving was the greatest blessing I could have received. Bye. What bothers me is that he's a constant pain in my ass with our son. Mm-hmm. Our son has special needs, and he is continuously saying that he'll, quote, grow out of it. He has had all of the medical information for our son for over 5 months and blames me for his lack of involvement with our son's therapy sessions. Our primary therapist has been waiting for over 2 months for him to respond and hasn't heard a peep. He claims that I am trying to take away his visitation time with our son when he chose a new occupation that limits his time. Other than dealing with an obvious sociopath, what would you two recommend I do to remain sane until the year 2036 when our son is 18? I love you both, and I'm sorry this was long, but I would love your insight.
Oh, my God, Lauren, you're dealing with it.
Yeah, Lauren needs just some support and some sort of validation on probably what she wants to do, and for someone to say, it's okay. You don't need to care about his feelings.
I know. And that's why, like, whenever someone says, like, a story like this, I'm very vocal about, like, being incensed. Because to me, I'm like, no, everything, you're right to be mad. This person is crazy.
Yes.
Someone who doesn't know either of you, I would tell you, this shit is cray on its face.
I feel like she needs to get the bar napkin out. Like, she needs to let the judge. I would, like, not want nothing to do with it. Like, I would just say at this point, it's like, you, like, have somebody else deal with it, you know, put it on paper. When that kid is whatever age that kid can be to sort of then, you know, set themselves up to be, you know, disappointed or to have a good relationship with their father. Up until at that point, I think to save herself and probably save the kid. I'm assuming this kid probably doesn't feel too great about the relationship either, or, you know.
Right, because the kid also must be so small still, right?
Well, the kid's
two now. Okay.
Because
here's the other thing, too, I would say. Like, you know, I know about like family court stuff through my mom, and you know, she definitely says she's like, what, you know,
she's a lawyer there.
She's a lawyer in the family court. So where she's very much like, she's like, don't, she's like, really try to handle stuff yourself if you can handle it, because once you get in the system, it is like there's kind of no coming out, and it gets very complicated. But at the same time, when it's something like where she's saying the physical, the therapist, I don't know, physical or whatever, but the therapist is saying, wait 2 months for the husband to, the dad to respond.
Yes.
I mean, that's grounds for you're not helping me take care of our child. In which case, the thing is, she needs to have it set up where she has to be the one to make the decisions. So he can still visit and see his kid, but there's got to be, as you said, someone's got to say legally, like, you don't get to make the calls, because nobody can wait 2 months on your ass.
Yeah, and just say, like, I have all the decision-making capabilities. This is when you're allowed to see our child. If you don't, if you can't do it, then you miss it, you know, kind
exactly.
of thing. I mean, I am not a judge or a lawyer. I just, let me just establish this. I'm not a doctor. I was a drunk. I still drink. Try not too much. But I feel really bad for her, because also it's just so bad, you know, for the kid, you know, it's this new guy sounds great, and it's too bad that it's not one of those things where, I mean, I don't want to put anything on anybody, but where that guy can step in, you know what I mean? And be that guy, and sort of maybe the dad wants to be let off the hook. I don't know. You know, I don't really know that whole situation, but it's.
Well, he's a sociopath. The baby daddy is a sociopath. Mm-hmm. And it obviously seems like it's about power, right? This person where it's like, you know, and again, people do this. They will use their kids as bargaining chips when it's like, you don't even want to be a dad. You just want to sink your claws into this situation.
Yeah, you want to keep ruining me like you did from the moment we met.
Exactly.
And you love me in some weird way. And but you want, I totally trust your mother. But maybe this is one of those situations where it is, where it's like when you get a car accident with someone and then they're like, can we just not do without insurance? And you realize you're like, that guy's kind of a punk. I think I don't want to have to talk to this person again on the phone.
Right.
Let's just call our insurance companies and have them talk. Like, maybe that's just one of these situations where it's just it's lawyer to lawyer. Maybe he doesn't have to go to the court because the lawyers can just talk.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not like you shouldn't. It's just more like, I think when you get into issues of custody, you know, it can always be very tricky because is she in California? She said Big Bear. So I'm like, you know, obviously New York and California have different kind of ways of dealing with that kind of stuff. And in general, almost all courts will side with the mother if the mother is like taking care of the kid, of course. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I don't think something's going to happen to her. Like, you know, she'll have her child. It's a question of like, will they really like cede his rights? Because that's the thing. It's like, I hate someone so course like, you don't want to be here. Why are you being a bitch? Like,
exactly.
Just is being difficult to be difficult. And that's the problem.
Have you both ever, to me, this is like a television sociopath. Like,
that whole story was very much like, let me pitch this script to you.
But like the baby daddy, like that seems like what a sociopath that I've seen on TV. Like, anytime I get a whiff of someone being a sociopath in real life, I just like stay as far away from them. So I'm kind of curious, have you guys ever met Michelle and Naomi? Have you guys ever met like a real, real sociopath? And like, how do you actually deal with, because like, you know, the problem is if you don't want to go to the courts, how are you, are there like psychological ways?
Games.
Like,
play.
Are there ways to manipulate? Like, is there some way to like be like, no, or just like say like, you don't have the power to determine this. And so, like, do you just have to stand firm with that? Like, does that stop psychopaths?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's such a weird thing. Like, I have had a weird relationship with my stepfather, and he is now 80. And I think it just had to get to a point where he lost the power because he got too old. You know what I mean? Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine having a kid with some, as long as he could yell at me and kick me out of the house. Like, he was like, all right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I don't understand. I think that is such it's such a hard situation to be stuck in. The only thing I'm going to say, because you said the kid was 2 right now, especially 2 years old is an age where it's not quite, if he's not a kid person and doesn't have that connection, maybe he hasn't, in a few years, he will have made a connection with this child that's different than what it is now, where you're much more like having to take care of this kid. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure the sociopathic tendencies will still be there, but at the very least, just knowing that he at least has a vested interest in a human being, mm-hmm. Might make the situation different. But before that, it's so toxic on everybody. Yeah. And the relationship, because clearly she wants him to have like a relationship with the kid, you know, but she doesn't want it to be the way he wants it to be. So hopefully that writes itself, because I don't know how you could, you know, it's difficult to sort of say you're deleted, you know, kind of a thing.
Right.
Unfathered.
You know? you canceled. You as a dad canceled. Are canceled.
Blocked. Yeah.
Two things I will say though, Lauren, as you deal with him, if you haven't already, do everything in writing.
Yeah.
Not only because if you do have to end up going to the courts, you're going to have a list of all this shit.
Screenshots.
Including like when the doctor says, I haven't heard from him in 2 weeks. Get that shit on paper, girl.
Yeah.
And then also because if he is a triggering person, it might be easier to engage with him via in writing versus like phone calls and him showing up at the house. Like it's harder to kind of push it off.
Oh, boundaries. Is there any way to draw like really strict boundaries?
Yeah.
Again, maybe, but again, when it is his child, right? Michelle's right. It's like you can't actually push this person away, so you have to engage to some extent. So it's really hard to have the firmer boundaries, which is why, again, the conversations need to be kind of in writing whenever possible. You can submit text messages, but you want to see if you can get some email going. And then the other thing is, you're talking about like the situation writing itself, Michelle. She also mentioned that his new lady is pregnant, they're engaged. I wonder if he will leave Lauren alone once that new baby comes.
Yeah.
Because that girl is going to be like, sit your ass in the house, I need your help.
Or
and
he'll
I wonder,
leave that new lady.
Well, that too.
How many other people is he seeing at the moment?
Right. But I'm saying, like, either way, I think when there's another baby on the scene, who knows if he'll still have the bandwidth to try to fuck with Lauren's life. You see what I'm saying?
I really, when someone else says fuck, I have to say fuck immediately. it really bothers me when people don't take the responsibility for their children, you know, as if it's not their own. Like the parent who says, oh, so-and-so, my husband, whatever their fake name is, he's babysitting our fake baby's name tonight, you know. I'm like, no, it's his kid.
Right,
you're going out
babysitting.
The guy's at home. So is the baby.
Right.
That's it. You know, there's no babysitting involved. So she shouldn't have to, like, this should not have to be how it is. And I understand that's probably the frustration. I hope she's seeing a therapist and is able, you know, to sort of talk to the therapist weekly about the boundary setting. Mm-hmm. So she's not taking it places. So the way that she can control, you know, because all you can do is control what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so she can kind of, even no matter if she's right or whatever, but that she can keep things in a healthy, you know, boundary.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel bad for you, Lauren. But I'm sure you have a great kid.
I know. And I'm also I'm glad you found new love and that you are feeling like, you know, it all, you know, I just hate when people do shady shit. And like, I don't know, a couple things bother me the most, which is the thing that I'm also really stuck in my craw that because like other friends and family said that it was my fault. Like, that's the kind of shit that make me mad. It's like,
no,
what the fuck you doing weighing in here, making it my fault that he got with two other people when we were together?
No, it's not like he's 22, like, oh, God, they've been doing this for 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, no, like, this is an adult situation.
Yeah.
You know, he's the asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like a Keith Raniere type.
Very next. Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't understand these freaks and their charisma. Like, I see someone, like, I see people, I meet people out here in Hollywood with real charisma, and they don't look like Keith Raniere.
Oh, are we talking about Keith Raniere now?
No, I'm just saying, we don't have to talk about Keith.
Oh, did we switch it to The Vow? The worst. Okay, I watched it for 10 minutes, and I.
The
and
most
I was
boring
like,
documentary about a sex cult ever.
Boring, and also, like, I texted my friend Amy Miller, you probably know.
Oh, yes.
Because she was like, you have to watch this. And I was like, I hate everybody in it. Like, it's like, I don't want to hear them talk about it. Like, yeah. The person I like the best with Catherine Oxenberg, you know, and that weird detective that made the blog. I was like, can't the whole show just be them solving crimes, like cult crimes? And no, it was hard to watch. I haven't even watched the last episode because I watch it on, I fast forward, but I would watch it on 20 times if I could, you know, yeah. Like 20X. Like yeah, when you're on a podcast, it's 2X.
Yeah.
I would do 20X and be like,
but like, I don't get that guy's charisma. I don't get like,
I know.
I don't get a creep charisma.
Oh, you mean you don't get volleyball charisma? Andy.
I get like, you meet like a really good looking actor, like just being around like a good looking actor,
you're, or like someone with an accent, you know, give me a British accent. I get it.
When Scientology seems like a better proposition than your cult, then you've got something. Like, no, I don't get like, oh, I might run into John Travolta. Like, no, I might run into this extra from the show I don't watch. Like, exactly. But, no offense, I'm sorry you guys were in a Colton Brandon. There's nothing about it. He is so, I don't like people that are like, let me tell you what I know. Do you know what I mean? And aren't interested really in sort of like, you know, the context and everything that everybody's bringing. And he's just, oh, I've got this big IQ. Look at me play the piano. You seem like you're fucking shit at everything.
It's like, so like, especially because to me, it's interesting when these people, because I feel the same way about LRH, L. Ron Hubbard. It's another one where I'm like, you busted, you're boring. These people not even like, when they talk, they're not even dynamic. They're not even giving me like Southern preacher energy. You're not like taking the stage. I feel like I could be a fun cult leader, but I don't want responsibility.
No, because it's all about rules, right? It's like, okay, I'm trying to say something that's not going to get me in trouble. But like, it's people that go to like comedy classes or improv school. But like, it's like where people like are like, I need you to tell me exactly what to do and how to operate. And people like that shit. So people like to say, and that's what that whole thing was. And that's what bothered me about the show is even though it ended up, oh my God, we're in a cult. They were still talking about all the things that they learned as if, well, it was really good. I really did like this cult lesson they taught me. That was really good. But what he was doing after volleyball, like that was too much, you know?
Well, and also they never talked enough about like, again, they're using the footage. The problem is that guy Mark has, first of all, who keeps somebody in a cult that's filming every conversation and everything everybody
hold
doing?
Hold on, let me fix the microphones. I gotta lavalier this, and I've got three cameras. We're gonna do a real big shoot of every single thing that happens in this cult. And Keith Raniere is like, yeah, that sounds good.
Exactly. It's like, what are you doing? But it's like they have his footage, so they have to keep him in there. But you know what they never talked about? They didn't talk enough about the fucking pyramid scheme and how they got money for bringing people in. And it was like, that's a major part, sir. Like, that is kind of what it all hinges on.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys all seem to have, like, money and homes. For people who haven't had jobs, you say, right, for the whole time you're in that cult, you're really doing great.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, for listeners, if you can get three people to buy a couples therapy t-shirt... You will get a special sticker of me and Naomi.
No, I
but
told
first,
you. I'm
first, you have to buy 500 t-shirts.
You have to buy 500 t-shirts and then get three other people to buy t-shirts straight from us.
Soon you'll sell all your t-shirts and then you'll make something from everybody else.
And also,
else's.
If you don't sell your t-shirts, you know, what is it about you that's making that not happen?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about
and
your shortcoming.
I need you to pay $1,000 to listen to my Zoom for an hour on how you can be more compelling as a person.
Oh yeah, we just the new Patreon level is $1,000.
Yeah, just go for it.
Why not? Swing for the fences.
I feel bad. We left Lauren behind. Lauren. No Lauren left behind. Lauren, don't join a cult no matter how you feel.
Don't join a cult. You are now with a new man. I want you to get everything in writing, and you do whatever you have to protect your son or daughter. Yeah. We don't know yet. I don't know. Your child. Do whatever you have to protect your child, toddler. Honey. And just, you know, you are not crazy. You need to practice self-care and limit your interaction with this crazy man. and you just put your family first, honey. You know, yeah, we're here for you. You know, I want to yes, follow up. I want to know everything.
Or frame them. Frame the guy.
Andrew, you can't keep poisoning really? And framing people.
No, I'm saying really Coen Brothers this out.
Oh.
Frame him so that he goes to jail and then has to, like, you don't have to worry about him anymore.
That's true. You really get your parental rights taken away once you're in jail. That's true.
Look. End the carceral state. I'm saying that.
Right.
But until the carceral state ends, right, I say frame a sociopath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm into that. I mean, I'm always like, defund the police. But until you defund them, I got some bitches on a list. You know what I mean?
First, I need you to tell me when that's going to happen. Because right, before, I got a van and a list.
A van and a list.
Oh. Michelle, what a delight.
Thank you so much for
talking
to
us. I just want you to know that Tenny just, they're on their iPad upstairs. They just messaged me, Mommy, what are you doing?
Tenny is 8. I think they're old enough to learn about a podcast. I think,
oh,
you know.
Oh, no, they know. But we actually did a podcast. Like, I was would have recorded various podcasts. And so when they were really little, I'd say, okay, we'll do a podcast. And I just recorded, like, okay, talk about Pokemon for a few minutes or whatever, you know, really? When they were like 3 or 4.
Oh my God, I love it. Andy, yeah, I think we should have a kid maybe for some fun content. Mm-hmm. If our kid was cool, I don't think our kid would be cool like Tenny, but I think our kid would be like fun, but not cool.
No, your kid will be cool in the way, like, it's all you have to do is just treat that kid like a person and give that kid context and direction, and
okay.
You will have a cool kid.
All right. A cool kid, definitely really blind. Bad eyes between the two of us.
Bad eyes. Oh, talks about the X-Men too much.
A lot of crying at the smallest slight. But sweet.
Yes. All the bad traits from both of you. Like, that's true.
Thanks again, Michelle.
We love it.
And we'll see you all next time.
Yes.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.